Well, let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started this morning, okay? Our Father in heaven, what a privilege even to say that from our hearts, to call you Father, our Heavenly Father, the eternal God, the everlasting one, the all-loving God, merciful, good God. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we could gather together here this morning as your church here at Living Hope Bible Church. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to come and share your word together. And Lord, I want to thank you for each one that's here and pray, Lord, that you'll minister to our hearts today as we open up your word. Lord, as we look again in the study of John and as Jesus has given these final words of encouragement, instruction, we thank you, Lord, for the very wonderful promise that you'll never leave nor forsake us and that your Holy Spirit would be with us. That's a promise you gave to us, promise we hold to. And we are so thankful, Lord, for the very ministry of the Spirit. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, now even for each Sunday school teacher, Lord, as we're opening up the word this morning. God, this is your word. We want to handle it rightly. So we ask for the Spirit's help this morning. And I pray, Lord, that the Spirit would instruct your church today. Father, from the youngest child to the oldest of us, Lord, as we all gather in different classes, Lord, to study your word, God, open up our hearts and give us understanding. And Lord, we want to pray for the hour to come. Lord, as we'll gather in this sanctuary, your church, come in here, Lord, to worship and honor Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that there will be a wonderful spirit of worship to you. You're the reason we're here, Lord. We come here to honor you, to adore you, to tell you from our hearts, our oneness together, how thankful we are that we are your people, that you're our God, and we could worship you here in truth and in spirit, and we pray that that would happen here. Lord, later as we hear the word preached, we pray for our dear brother Mike as he'll be sharing the word this morning. We pray even, Lord, for the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Lord, that will remind us again of your ultimate price of love to us, Lord, to draw us to yourself and give us freedom from sin, Satan, and death. So bless our time, Lord. I need your help, Lord. I pray that you'll bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll again turn to John chapter 16. I do have some notes back there if you're new with us or you need to get a notes caught up with us. We're on this last section here, this whole section that we've been looking at from John 15, 18 to John 16, 16 is really talking about the Holy Spirit work in the world today. And last time, if you recall, we spent time talking about the Spirit as reprover, reproving witnesses through the church. That, in other words, as we will recall, we talked about the very fact that the Holy Spirit came to the church and how important that is for us to grab a hold of that truth. He came to the church and he works in and through the church. And that church is you and I. We are, as we talked about last time, we are the body of Christ. We are his eyes, his ears, his mouthpiece, his hands, and his feet. And how important is it for us to understand is that he is using us to proclaim the great message of hope to this lost and dying world. It's his work to bring conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It's our work to be his witnesses. We are not here to condemn the world or to judge the world. That's the work of the Spirit. Our work is to be a witness to the very fact that we once were like the world. We were lost and dead in our sins. And because of the work of Christ, because of regeneration, because we've been born again, we are a new people in Christ Jesus. Amen? So that we discussed much last time about the very work of the Holy Spirit in this world as reprover. And this morning we're going to look at this last section in John chapter 16. And I'm going to go ahead and read that starting at verse 12. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall testify of me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. See, in this section, Jesus has promised that the Holy Spirit will come. And he has come. And he'll dwell, as I said earlier, he dwells within us. Every believer has the Holy Spirit within him. Jesus has told his disciples that they will have all these promises. Remember, we're talking about these promises that he gives, these words of encouragement that he gives in these last hours with his disciples. All the way from chapter 13 to the end of 17, these are wonderful words of encouragement and instruction to his disciples. And as we talked about before, they are for us today as a church. These are the same promises that are given to us that he gave to these disciples. Now, one of the things we'll note is that the Holy Spirit himself was promised that he would come on the day of Pentecost. He also told them that the Holy Spirit would witness to Christ through them. So that's the same thing that goes for us. He would come to us so that we could witness to Christ of how he has changed us and how he works in our lives. And as we said earlier, the Holy Spirit would convict of sin to bring men to Christ. And I can't emphasize that enough of how important it is for us to realize that the Holy Spirit came, Christ came, so that we might have life. Because without Christ, we are bound for eternity separated from this wonderful God of salvation. And as we know that if people are not touched by the Spirit of God, if they're not called to him, they will spend eternity in hell. And that's a terrible thing to consider. That this wonderful gift of salvation God has poured out to this world. And the only reason people will go to hell is because of unbelief. And we've talked much about that. But I want you to know that our Lord was very careful how to give his disciples the right amount of truth at the best time. You know, this is really important. This is the mark of a good teacher. And the Holy Spirit is our teacher today. And he follows the same principle as Jesus did. He teaches us the truths we need to know when we need them, and when we are ready to receive them. Now, I want you to go back with me, because we're going to see, basically, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want you to see that in this whole section that we've been covering, Jesus mentions the very work of the Spirit. And I want you to see this, because we're going to see it in three aspects, okay? I want you to go back to John 14. And look at verse 26. He says right here, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. So one of the very things that the Holy Spirit does, as he's saying to these disciples, when he comes, and he did come at the day of Pentecost, the promise was given, God kept his promise, and he says, when he comes, he's going to bring things to your remembrance. Do you remember many a times Jesus would say to his disciples, they would ask him questions, and he would tell them things. And there were certain things that he told them, and he said to them, you don't quite get this right now. But when the Spirit, the Comforter, will come, he'll bring these to your remembrance. And so that's really important, because even as we study the Word of God and we take the Word of God into our hearts and our minds, there are things that we don't quite understand, do we? But there are times when it will be at the right moment, at the right time, that the Holy Spirit is going to open up your mind and your heart and reveal it to you. See, that's his work. He's to bring these things to remembrance to you. And I can't emphasize enough how important it is that we do be people of the Word of God, that we soak it up day in and day out. You're hurting yourself if you are not spending time in the Word of God. Because God wants to use you, as we have already seen. We've discussed this many a times. But it's important for us to take in the Word of God. And that God has taken that Word and sink it in your heart and your minds. And at the right moment, when it's time, he reveals that truth to you. You ever wonder, hey, I've read something, I've read it, you know, and all of a sudden, hey, I never saw that before. That's the Holy Spirit working in your heart, bringing these things to your remembrance. Now I want you to turn over to John 15, and we see a second aspect. Not only does he bring things to remembrance, he brings the past to our mind. But I want you to look at what Jesus says here in chapter 15. Look at verse 26. Again, speaking of the Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And that's the present. He's talking about to these disciples right now. When he comes, he will make known to you and testify the things concerning me. If we are ever to learn Christ, if we ever to know Christ, if we ever to be born again, it's the Spirit of God that takes the Word of God, reveals Christ to us, and there we are. We come to faith and we know Christ. And everything now that we learn, everything that we live for, everything that we strive to be is to be like Christ. Amen. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he would come and lead us into all truth and to testify of Jesus Christ. And then lastly, we see right here the third aspect we see right here. Look at verse 13 of chapter 16, the very verse that we read here this morning. Howbeit, when he, again, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That's the future, friends. If we are ever to learn God's will for us, God's plan for you, the future for us, the very things that the Holy Spirit does, reveals to us the things to come. Now, turn with me over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation 1, and we know that John is on the island of Patmos, and the Spirit of Christ himself, in his glorified presence, appears to John. But I want you to see something right here. I want you to look at verse 8 of chapter 1 of Revelation. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. By the way, I just want you to know, what is the book of Revelation? It's a revealing of who? Of Christ. I mean, these disciples have seen Jesus in the flesh, God in the flesh. But even John himself, I mean, he thought he knew Jesus until he seen him in his glory. And he fell at his face. He fell down. I mean, when he saw Jesus in his full glory there in heaven, and we see that later on in chapters 4 and 5 when he's given a glimpse of heaven itself, when he's taken up. And by the way, if you turn over, go over to chapter 4 and look what it says right here. Look at verse 1. And this I looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were the trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you things which must be hereafter. So again, we see the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would come, he would bring things remembrance to you, the things of the past, things that are about me. He will show you things present. He will testify of me. And he will also be the one to show you the things to come. If we ever learn of prophetic scripture or what holds for us in the future, it's the Holy Spirit's going to reveal that to us. So, I want you also to know is that when you compare these scriptures, you could see how the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father are one. And that's really important for us to grab a hold of. You see, their message is the same. Okay? And we're going to get into that in a little bit. Okay? But I want to talk about this where he talks about the very fact that I want you to see the progression of the revealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And think of it in this ways. Okay? In the writings of the New Testament, the Spirit will remind them of the things Jesus taught them, and that gives us the four Gospels. Okay? The four Gospels were written so that we may know of the very person of the Son of God. Okay? I mean, they're all, you read all four Gospels and you get a picture, a revealing of God the Son, do you not? Okay? Now, in some cases, what they share with us in four Gospels, it's like you're on a corner and an accident happened and there's four different witnesses on the corner. Everyone saw the same thing, but they got a little different perspective on it. Am I right? That's what the four Gospels are. But all four Gospels is a revealing of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It speaks about who he is, how he came, his ministry, the very fact of his very words that he shared to us, and the very works that he did. The Gospels themselves speak to us, and it's the Holy Spirit as we read these things and we learn these things that we learn of Jesus Christ. Now, it's the same Holy Spirit that reveals not only that we see the writings of the New Testament, of the four Gospels, but the Spirit also guide them into all truth. And this is the result of the epistles. I don't know if you remember, but I had mentioned this when we first got into the sections on John chapter 13. And I said, these chapters, 13 to 17, is really Jesus' last instructions to his disciples and to us before he finished his work on the cross. He died, was buried, he rose again. He was with us for 40 days, and then he ascended into heaven. And then the Spirit came after that. Okay? So, We see the Gospels, the Spirit revealing to us the things of Christ and the very things that the Holy Spirit has given us, the epistles. And I told you that if you could really home in on John chapter 13 to 17, that is the foundation for the rest of all the epistles. Everything that Paul speaks about comes from truth that Jesus revealed instructions to his disciples. And so for you to really understand the epistles, okay, it's an explanation, it's an instruction of those things deeper of what Jesus had revealed from 13 to 17. And then as we're going to see right here, then not only do we see speaking about the results of the epistles, he will show you things to come. We're talking again about the prophetic scriptures, especially the book of Revelation. And we just read about that, what that means. Now, basically two things that we really see standing out in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Always about salvation for the unbeliever and for us to give us assurance of who we are in Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's important for us because I know there are sometimes newer believers, young believers, really struggle with assurance because they still haven't been grounded in that solid faith of understanding Scripture as the Holy Spirit reveals to them of who they are in Christ Jesus. Okay? And even the very fact that they're newly young in the faith and they're under constant attack of discouragement and doubt. Okay? That's what all of us are still being attacked with, discouragement and doubt. That's the tactic of the evil one. See, we have the sword of the Spirit. It's a two-edged sword. It's the Spirit of truth. And we could fight off the attacks of Satan, and we could also go forward. That's the word of God. But Satan has his broad sword, and it has two edges. And it's called discouragement and doubt. And he's constantly coming at you with that. But as new believers, we need to get the word and the word of God. And then the Holy Spirit just reassures us and shows us who we are in Christ. So salvation is really key for the ministry of the Spirit. But the other aspect of his ministry is for us to be more like Christ. Christ-likeness. Everything about us that we learn from the epistles, everything we see is to become more and more and more like Christ Jesus. Amen? That's the goal. Okay? That's the goal. Now, here's another truth that I want you to know. Sometimes when we think about the Spirit, I want you to know this phrase that he says here. He says, he, the Spirit, shall not speak of himself. Look at 13 again. Howbeit the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. Now, that is really important for us to grab a hold of. You see, the Holy Spirit isn't given to us. He doesn't come here and he's got a different message. Now, I'm telling you, you got to be careful. There's a lot of teaching out there about the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, if it's not consistent with the character of Jesus Christ, be careful. Because he says right here, he's not coming to testify of himself. Now, that doesn't mean he never speaks of himself. We see all through Scripture, we see God speaking about God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Christ Jesus. Am I right? In fact, when you really study creation, you see all three of them in creation. We see unity there. And the same thing goes for today in his ministry. It's not that he has a different message. He has the same message. God is the same. God is a Trinity. God is a unity. There's harmony in what the Father's doing, what the Son has done, and what the Holy Spirit is doing. Amen? And so let that be something that be a guide for you. Keep an eye on what people are saying or doing when it comes to speaking of the Holy Spirit. He's not independent. There's not a ministry that's outside of who Christ Jesus is. The very reason that the Holy Spirit has come is that it would be the Spirit of Christ living in you, exalting Christ before you, ministering so that you become more like Christ. He does not speak apart from the Father and the Son. He does not manufacture a different message. You have the entire Godhead mentioned here in this section, because the Spirit of God does not ignore either the Father nor the Son. They work harmoniously together. They are true unity. They are one. So that's really important for us to understand. Now, the teaching of the Holy Spirit through the apostle was not different from the teaching of the Spirit through Jesus Christ. So, again, we must see unity as we look at all Scripture. Okay? God is a Godhead of one. There's one unity between them. Okay? Now, let me point out this, too. Some like to contrast the Christianity of Christ with the Christianity of Paul. There are some theologians who really believe this, that, you know, Jesus had such a simple message. You know, and they try to set it apart, saying something like, well, Jesus had his message of Christianity, but now you get Paul comes along, and man, he's really made it difficult. You ever hear that? I'm serious. There's people that believe that. But I want you to know they have the same message. As I said, in the epistles, we see the Spirit of God taking the truths, the foundations of who Christ is, and he's pouring out and give us his instruction how it is that we become more like Christ. Now, let me just show you a scripture, because this really helped me years ago when I came across this. I want you to see this 2 Peter. Go to 2 Peter for a minute. See, some would claim that Paul ruined Christianity by making it so theological and complicating. That's what I had in my notes here. The simple message of Jesus Christ, and this is a sad, sad charge against our brother Paul. They totally miss what God is doing through the Gospels, through the epistles, and through the prophetic scriptures themselves. So I want you to look here. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to note something here. Look what Peter is saying here about the writings of Paul. He says right here in verse 14 of chapter 3, he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. And account that the long sufferings of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom giving unto him, has written unto you. Now, I want you to understand, he says, Paul, also according to wisdom given. Where does wisdom come from? The Spirit of God. And so he's confessing right here, and he's alluding to the very fact that Paul, in all of his writings, was given this wisdom by God. And also that he's written these things unto you. They're for our benefit. God took the gospel so we could know Christ, know salvation, and he's given us the epistle so that we could learn how it is that we live to become more like Christ. And then he says right here, look at this next verse, as also in his epistles, speaking in them of things in which in some things hard to be understood. You know, I'm just telling you that. You talk to a little baby when they come to when they are born and they first start learning and they start listening. You think you could teach them calculus? Some kids will amaze you. I know that, you know. Some of us old folks can't even tell you what calculus is really all about, you know. But here's the point. All of us are in a journey. All of us should be becoming more and more like Christ. We don't grab everything all at once. There's reasons why we are served milk. And then we're told, stop drinking milk and start eating some meat. So, yes, there are times when the writings of Paul are very difficult to understand. But I want you to know this is the writings not of Paul. This is the writings of the Spirit of God. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. As holy men, we're moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's exactly what the Spirit does here. And here's another thing I want you to see right here. In which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable, rest as they do. Now listen to this. As they do also the other Scriptures unto their own destruction. In other words, he's telling you that Paul's writings were of God. He was given a wisdom from God. And then he goes on and he says, just like the other Scriptures, he's identifying that Paul's writings are Scripture. They're the Word of God. There's not different theology here. It's all the same God. Same Holy Spirit. And as I mentioned before, let's go back to our text. As I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit's not going to give some revelation independent of God. Whatever the Holy Spirit says will always be consistent with God and with Christ. That's why you and I can have confidence when we read the Scriptures and when we go and look, and when somebody comes to you with some kind of teaching, you go and make sure that you understand what the Word of God is, and it's consistent with the Word of God. I'm telling you, that's why we have so much problems, that we've seen such divisions in the church. That some have creeped in, taken our own interpretation. If it was hard to understand, I would rather not teach it than try to come up with some kind of woolly idea that, you know, I got it figured out. If it ain't of the Spirit, I don't want to teach it. We shouldn't be teaching it. We should never teach anything that's contrary, that if it's not in the Word of God, then don't say it. That's how I believe. I really do. If I don't understand, I'd rather not teach it. Because if I don't understand it, and I'm standing up here to teach something, I don't want to teach. I want to handle the Word rightly. And so that's why many times when we teach, we always go back to the Scriptures. Everything we say is backed up Scripture with Scripture. Let God speak for Himself. You don't need to know my interpretation. You only need to know what the Spirit of God is revealing to you, and it's consistent throughout. Amen? And so that's really important for us to grab a hold when we think about the Holy Spirit's ministry. He's not going to go off on His own. There's perfect harmony in the Scriptures. Now, as I said earlier, He's not independent. He will always teach, leading us to salvation, teaching us Christ-likeness. This is consistent for the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to go now, let's go back, and I want to look at, in the time we have left, I want to look at verses 14 and 15. It says right here, He shall glorify Me. This is Jesus speaking. He shall glorify Me. For He shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and shall show it unto you. See, I believe this is the key thing in the ministry of the Spirit. And here it is, my dear brothers and sisters, the key ministry of the Spirit, he shall glorify Christ. People would say, why do you make such an issue of Christ? You know, why do we spend so much time about Christ? Why do we take so much of our worship to Christ? Because it's Him, the very Son of God. You go, as I mentioned earlier, in the Old Testament, and we learn. You remember the story of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Do you remember that? The only scriptures written at that time was the Old Testament. Remember, they walked and Jesus expounded to them from the scriptures. And we know that Jesus said, search the scriptures. And then you think you have life, but it's they that testify of me. Every page, I mean, if you really took it, if you really took it out, I mean, if you really took the time to really study it, and if we really would come with an open mind and say that I want to see Christ on every page of Scripture, it's there, one way or another. Sometimes it's hidden, sometimes it's very plain. But we make a big deal of Christ because He's the God the Son. He's the one that has come to give us life. He is the one who has revealed to us the manifestation of who God is. God in the flesh. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. There ain't no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus laid down his life for his enemies. Why do we make such a do? Why do we make such a fuss? Because this is God's design. That we honor the Son. That we worship Him. And the Holy Spirit, as He says right here, He doesn't testify Himself. Oh, yeah, He'll speak about Himself. We're instructed who He is. He's part of the Trinity. But you and I, as believers, we have one goal in life, to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to enjoy Him forever. And the one key that brings us to that point is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave Himself for us that we might. If you have the Son, you have life. That's why I love this book of John so much. I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite gospels, because on every page we are given such a manifestation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you know what I'm talking about. You love Christ. We are to honor Christ. We are to worship Christ. Well, we're really running out of time right here. But I want you to grab a hold of this, because when He says here, He shall glorify me, it's always, always about Christ. If you don't see Jesus in that teaching, if He's not the number one, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, check it out. Make sure it's consistent with the Word of God. Because God is consistent all through Scriptures. Even as we talked about earlier, the book of Revelation is a revealing a manifestation of who this great Savior is. And we'll see Him as He is. And we're looking forward to the time when He'll come back. Amen. And we will see Him and we will honor Him and we'll love Him and we'll worship Him. I love God the Father, God the Son, and I love God the Holy Spirit. And how we love the Trinity is through Christ. See, if you don't have Christ, you can't love God. You can't know God. He's made it very clear. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father but by me. That's why we honor Christ. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, and I love this about our church. I really believe we love Christ here. And we want to honor Him here. And He should be in everything that we do here. Your ministry itself, the gifting that you've been given, all of this is done to honor Christ. It's not for self-glorification. It's not to bring attention to myself. But it's to honor Him. Point others to Him. You're different because of Jesus Christ. He is the answer this world doesn't even know that it needs. As I said before, we have an awesome responsibility as believers. You see, if we're pointing people to Christ, we are being led of the Spirit. Because the Spirit's main ministry is to exalt Christ. Amen? And so let's not get all confused about the ministry of this and the ministry of that one. God is consistent. Amen? There's no confusion with God. And if there is some kind of teaching that speaks about the Spirit that is not consistent with this message, we make sure that we go back to the Word of God and it's consistent. If it's not, it's a red flag. Amen? See, we don't study the Word of God in order to argue religion with people or to show off our grasp of spiritual things. We study the Word to see Jesus. To know God better, to glorify Him with our lives, and as we witness to this hostile world, the Spirit uses the Word He has taught us and we share Jesus Christ with the lost. It's our job to witness. It's the Spirit's job to convict. So I hope this study on what we've been going through from 13 all the way up to this point, I hope it's been a real encouragement to you. Don't lose sight of these messages. Go back, study the Word, understand the ministry that you have been called to, understand the ministry of this church, understand what this world out there needs, understand how we go out and we minister to that world, not condemning, not convicting, that's the Spirit's work. But as I said earlier, our job is to be witnesses to the truth. And more than anything else, look at your life. As I look at and examine my life, constantly I have to be reminded, Bill, you've been saved by the very love of God, by the very mercies of God. You owe your life to Christ. You owe everything to Him. Let's exalt Him. Let's tell others of this wonderful Savior. Amen. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word this morning. We thank You that You have not left us as orphans, What a wonderful privilege, Lord, not only to come to faith, not only to know the living and true God, not only to be reborn again so that our life has meaning and purpose, so that we have found forgiveness, but Lord, that you have called us to be like Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know that it's a work that only you can do as you chisel away at us and as you create in us, as we take in your word and as your Holy Spirit brings conviction in our own lives of where we need to repent of sin and follow Christ with all of our heart to exalt him and to honor him in everything that we do. God, I pray that you'll renew in our hearts a love for Jesus. That we would have within the center of our being is that we want to exalt Christ and lift him up for others to see. Because it's desperately needed in this wicked world who is so anti-Christ. But God, you are greater than he that's in this world. And Lord, you have brought a message that will change men and women and children's lives. And that message points to the one and only Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings. Oh, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We desire to see you in all of your majesty. Someday we will. That's a promise that you've given us. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.